Spring into action with the biggest fly fishing gear sale of the season. Jackson Hole Fly Company is thrilled to announce their spectacular 25% off anniversary sale. They are inviting all of us to celebrate with them. Whether you're a seasoned angler or just starting out, there's never been a better time to upgrade your equipment and save big. Are you looking for a rugged, waterproof sling pack or backpack to keep your gear dry throughout all the adventures this year? They have you covered. Are you in search of a new carbon fiber landing net? Top quality fly boxes, essential gear like fly lines and leaders? They have all that and more. This is your chance to grab some incredible deals and make the fishing season unforgettable. Don't wait. Dive into the savings today. Head over to jacksonholeflycompany.com and take advantage of this limited time sale.
Coming up next on the Wet Fly Swing Podcast.
You know, if you're thinking about doing these trips, whether it's for steelhead, kings, golden dorado, permit, tarpon, go do it now. You know, it may not be here. You know, so just take advantage of what you're able to do and don't think, oh, I'll do it next year. I'll do it next year. Go do it now. Is it, you know, who knows? Who knows what could happen up here? We could just be a few years behind the lower Pacific Northwest, which I truly hope not. But all the more reason to get out and have these experiences before they're gone.
That was Adam Cuthrell with another great reminder that life is short and the time is now to jump on that next big trip. Alaska Week continues with our Alaska trip summary. With three of my good buds, we're digging into it today on The Swing.
Welcome to the Wet Fly Swing Fly Fishing Show, where you discover tips, tricks, and tools from the leading names in fly fishing today.
We are in full swing today with Alaska Week, and the Alaska trip giveaway is going strong right now. You can head over to wetflyswing.com/giveaway right now. We'll have a link in the show notes as well, where you get a chance to win this trip that we're going to talk about today on the episode, on the show here today, and all the gear, fly rods, reels, packs, flies. We got a power pack punch. Go over to wetflyswing.com/giveaway and join that right now. Adam Cuthrell and Nick Torres are on the podcast today to break down the big Alaska trip we put together last month. We find out what it was like for a 6'5" guy to squeeze into a tiny helicopter and fly and land on a remote gravel bar. We hear Nick's side of it today. We get a feel for what a multi-day remote Alaska trip feels like and what's got Nick fired up for upcoming gear that Waterworks Lampson has this year. We're going to dig into a little bit on the gear, a lot on the trip, and a bunch of good stuff. Plus, we find out if it's actually possible to get tired of catching salmon on a fly. So without further ado, here we go. Adam Cuthrell from Fishhound Expeditions and Nick Torres from Waterworks Lampson.
How's it going, guys?
Doing good, boys. Good. Glad to talk to you guys again. Awesome trip we had out there with the two of you guys.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, we're circling back here after, I can't remember, it's been a few weeks now from the trip up north to Alaska. We had an amazing trip that had some fun stories in it. We're going to dig into some of that and just talk about the trip in general so people understand we're doing a giveaway right now to win a spot for one of these trips up there. So we're going to talk about kind of our experiences, both from Adam, your end as the outfitter, and Nick, from your end as kind of up on the trip. And we're going to dig into a little bit on kind of Lampson and some of the gear we use as well. But let's take it back. Let's just start off first. Give us an update for those that didn't hear those past episodes we've done with you guys. Adam, who you are, and how you're connected here to this trip.
Yeah, so I'm Adam, as you said there, and I own a guide service named Fishhound Expeditions. We operate all across Alaska. We do day trips. We do multi-day trips like we did here with Dave and Torres, all across Alaska, here in South Central, Western AK, and out in Kodiak Island as well. So we do all things fly fishing up here for everything that swims.
Nice.
Well, freshwater.
Yeah, freshwater, that's right. And Nick, how about you? What's your connection to the trip, and talk about what you do for work?
Sure. Yeah. So I am the community manager here at Waterworks Lampson. So I manage our pro program, the social media marketing, go around, do all the trade shows and stuff like that. And came up on the trip with you, Dave, after you put this thing together, and you know, you're needing some gear to take up there. And so that's kind of where I came in. I also do a little photography here and there, so got to do some of that. And yeah, thanks again for the invite. Had an amazing time.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was cool to hang out, you know, with everybody. And we had some bonus days where we hung out in Talkeetna and have some good stories for that. You almost won a poker tournament, which was pretty funny that we could maybe hit on. But let's go back. So Adam, you were on the episode a couple times, or on the podcast a couple times here, episode 324. We went in depth to a lot of this that we might not touch on today. And then Nick, you were on way back in 213, where we talked about some of the stuff you have going at Lampson, Waterworks Lampson, and then also we had you on for that Belize trip. So we got some content there in the past, but let's jump in with Adam first. You, just from your perspective on the trip, if you could describe it, somebody's listening now, maybe they don't know what to expect from Alaska. Talk about this trip, because we did have a little bit of high water, which was interesting. We had to switch things up and things like that, but talk about how the trip went together for you and just give us some insight on what people can expect.
Yeah. So as you guys saw, it is Alaska. Weather can definitely be temperamental as a whole. In all the years that I've been in business, this was definitely the toughest season as far as the amount of rain that we had. And on my side, just the logistics and shuffling from changing dates, changing rivers was full on this year, not just for our trip, but for a lot of the trips. And with the curveballs that we were dealt, every single one of our trips, with the exception of one, got out. So out of 73 multi-day trips booked, 72 got out. So wow. With the amount of weather that we had, it was pretty good. Considering the odds and having river go to flood stage, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but five times. So that was tough as a whole for outfitting, but like I said, 72 out of 73 were made it out, and pretty much everyone was stoked. And like lots of trips that we had, like with ours, mm-hmm. you know, just like, hey, this is what's going on. I have all these flights booked as backup for plan A, B, C, D, E. And then just looking at the different weather models and working with the pilots and, you know, deciphering the different weather models. We picked a date and it ended up working out pretty damn perfect for our trip. I would say so, wouldn't you boys?
Yeah.
You know, that first day the water was high and off color, but we still managed to slap some nice fish around. And then after that, it was just gates of heaven open, northern lights, big fish. It was, worked out very well. I had a great time out there with you guys, and appreciate you guys.
We got so lucky with that weather. Yeah, like I thought we were just going to be getting dumped on the whole time, and got up and blue skies, you know, for that first day of the float. We got to see the northern lights and the stuff. I mean, yeah, it was just, we got super lucky. That was awesome.
And we actually got a bonus day because we switched the flight around a little bit. So we had Will, one of your guides, took us out on another river, which we kind of drove to. And I actually got, I think, my largest fish on that trip, you know, down on one of those local rivers. And I know that's a good one. So we kind of had a bonus day, and then we got rigged up, and then we dropped in the helicopter, right? That was a exciting time flying in. You know, I hadn't really done that before onto a gravel bar. So I think overall, yeah, we made, you know, some higher water. We made it work and, you know, had some great campfires and just had that, you know, like we did that experience with us five out there, right? Because we had Cam also was on the trip taking photos. So Nick, give us a perspective. We're going to dig more into this, but from your end, you know, looking at the trip, it started off like we didn't know if it was going to happen. It came together. Once we were on the river floating, talk about, you know, your perspective, and you could throw in some of the highlights of some of the other stuff we did too, if you want as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, it was just, it was great going from almost 100 degree weather in Boise, Idaho in mid-September, which was kind of unusual for us, to, you know, full on fall foliage up in Alaska, like in one day. And I mean, the helicopter ride, that was my first time, you know, hopping in a chopper to go fishing. And that was a really cool experience. Just getting to see everything from that perspective, you know, was really cool. I'm a really big guy, so I was a little bit like, is this thing going to hold me up? But
I was no going to say, what was that like? Because you are a big guy. You're like, 6'5", right? Or whatever. How was that? Because it was a tiny chopper. Did you fit in there snugly?
Yeah, I was squeezed in a little bit, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't bad at all. And yeah, just coming in, getting dropped right on the river, getting all the gear together and the boats, and just, you know, being in it, you know, in the thick of it out in the bush in Alaska. It was a pretty cool experience.
Was that your first river trip like that, where we had like multi-day, I think it was, what was it, 4 days, right?
Yeah, well, as far as like picking up camp and moving camp every night and stuff, it actually was. Yeah, I haven't done a ton of multi-day floats. You know, I've done a lot of like floating the same stretch of the river for multiple days, and but camping in the same spot and stuff like that for steelhead in Idaho. And so that was great too. It kind of felt like I was back on trail crew days, you know, working for the Forest Service and picking up camp every night and moving and just getting to see so much awesome country. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, definitely. And Adam, from your end, I mean, that was the cool thing about these trips. And I've done some of these. I've been on your end of it, right? Kind of doing the guided trips. I know it's a lot of work, but, you know, we woke up, breakfast, you know, lunch, dinner. I mean, you guys were taking care of everything. You know, that was amazing, right? Talk about that from your end of this perspective. Like, what's that? I know that's a lot of work, but do you guys see, you know, when you see us on the river enjoying it, do you understand how much we appreciate that, all that work you guys did out there?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, on all these trips, it is a lot of work, and, you know, being from an outfitting point of view, like you're commenting on the good food, you know, there are things that I can't control. I can't control the weather. I can't control fishing, but I can't control having good gear, good hot food, beer, you know? So on my end, you know, if I can control the things I can control, it does make the experience better for everyone. And you definitely see that, you know, like when we bust out the grill and they're doing bacon cheeseburgers for lunch, people are like, holy shit, hot food. Yeah. No, we're out absolutely. Here 80 to 90 days a year. We don't want to just eat dehydrated, freeze dried, you know, stuff. So, you know, we try to control the things that we can do. And as being a guide, you know, when clients, guests do point that out, it does make us feel good that they do see all the hard work and appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys worked your asses off for us. And really, you had it down like a well-oiled machine, the three of you guys, especially working together. It was made it look easy, even though we know it isn't.
Yeah,
but we appreciate that. You know, Will and Cam, Will's my head guide, and Cam's one of my senior staff. And these boys are out there so much every day grinding. You know, it's just, this is life. This is what we do. We absolutely love it, and we love being able to share it with good folks like you guys. And you know, like, as you say, Nick, you know, really getting folks out into the bush and off the beaten path is, it's a cool experience to see that from a guide's point of view, when people are just blown away. And, you know, like on our trip with the fall colors and northern lights, just all that together, just, you know, watching people just being totally blown away. You know, for us who are out there every day, it doesn't get blasé, it's more intense, because it just grows every time out there, the love for it and the appreciation of it.
That is cool. And I remember too, towards the end of our trip, the whitewater, that was a little bonus we were all thinking about, like going into the canyon. And it was, you know, definitely, I mean, it was higher water, but I mean, those rapids were pretty impressive, right? I mean, when you go through that section, does it always feel like it's always changing a little bit, or do you guys have that like totally dialed every time?
Well, you know, all of us have been whitewater guides before this, and anyone who's been a whitewater guide knows that, yes, you're good at what you do, but if you don't respect everything and pucker a little bit, you're going to get tossed. So no, we all going into that, as you guys saw, we all pour out a little bit of bourbon before we enter the canyon, saying thanks to the river gods to get us through. So now every time we go through there, whether it's low water or high water, you know, there's rapids in there that keep the majority of people out of that particular river that we will leave unnamed for now. Yeah. But that's what keeps a lot of people out, because it is full on.
Yep. It has fallen and it's draining kind of off. I mean, that's a cool thing. This is set, you know, where it is at the base of essentially Denali, right? The tallest mountain in North America. And another just addition to the trip is that you're flying into this place, which is on the banks of the Susitna River. And it's just, you know, you're kind of awestruck. We luckily, Nick, I mean, how amazing was that? Our first morning after it had rained, how many days, Adam could explain, and then we have a clear shot of the mountains. What'd that feel like for you, Nick?
It was just, you know, poured my morning coffee and walked out back door of the hotel to go have a smoke and check out the river. And it was just like, bam, like right in your face, just, you know, sky opened up, sun's coming over the mountains, lit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was impressive.
you know, living up here, seeing it so much, every time you see it, you know, it's so big and we're so low and you're looking up at this massive mountain. It just looks fake, almost like it should be in a Lord of the Rings movie. It's just like, holy, that is a big mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's draining. I mean, all these rivers, I mean, the rivers we floated on, everything's coming out. And right now, what's it like, you know, Adam, for you guys? So we were up there a few weeks ago, but the winter comes quick up there. Are you guys already kind of, is that locking down things, getting ready for a cold, you know, the shutdown sort of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. We actually wrapped up our season in South Central on the 30th of September. And we just finished up all of our steelhead stuff out on Kodiak. And yeah, it snowed last night. Actually, winter's here, man. I can't wait to get back out on the snow pony and sliding on my board with my kid.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of the important things on the trip. I wanted to touch on the species that we hit and some of the beers. We also had some beers on the trip, right? Which was
one or two,
which made it fun. But Nick, let's talk about that from your perspective. You caught a couple of fish I don't think you've caught before. So talk about some of those fish.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to cross a couple off. Grayling was one that I hadn't caught before. Coho, another one. Yeah, the finding those silvers kind of right where Adam said they were going to be, of course, was really cool, and getting to kind of sight fish to them there in that froggy water, watching how aggressive they react to those pink streamers, those pink dollies, like that was definitely a highlight. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, what I get into. I kind of nerd out on catching different species on the fly. It's one of the things I enjoy because it takes me to so many different places. And anytime I can do that, you know, I'm just having a blast. So yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. And what about the dollies there, the dolly varmints?
Dollies, yeah. Yeah, so I've caught like their cousins, I guess, the Sea Run dollies down in the OP, or up on the OP, I should say.
Oh, okay.
For us down here, yep. The Olympic Peninsula there, like in the Ho River, and I think got one out of the queets too, but these were a different animal altogether, right? Like these fish are just gorging themselves all day on these high protein eggs that are everywhere. And they're just fat and healthy and chromed out. That was definitely, I mean, probably one of my favorite fish, if not my favorite fish from the trip, was that super chunky dolly, Adam, that you scooped out of the river for me.
That was cool.
Yeah, dude, that was a memorable fish for sure.
I'd say that one, and then the one right when we were coming into camp, that big bow that just lit you up and went across and then came back, and then Will just scooped that thing out of, seemed like nowhere, and that net just full bellied over with a 8-pound rainbow. That was pretty awesome. And then
One of the better net jobs I've seen in my life. Oh man, that Will was the MVP on that one for sure. Yeah. If he hadn't gotten that fish right at that second and it got out there in that current, there was a high likelihood that we weren't gonna bring that one to hand.
Yep. Boom, later, bye.
Yeah.
God.
I think one of my favorite, you know, I always like hearing people say, like, this is the biggest rainbow I've ever caught in my life. But Dave, with you, man, like,
yeah,
these fish fight like steelhead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that's one of my biggest memories, is that some of the rainbows we caught, you know, it was amazing. Yeah, I mean, they are tough. Not only are they tough, they fight like a steelhead, but they're tough to even, like, once you get them in into the net, you know, I mean, they just don't want to be touched. You know, they're just like, they're super aggressive. And so it did remind me a lot of a steelhead. And it was just, and like you said, on that trip, and then I landed one right behind Nick at that same spot, which wasn't quite as big, but it was a nice one. And then that night we actually camped right there, had a campfire on that gravel bar, and it was pretty, one of those nights, right? I don't remember what night that was, but we had a good time.
That was, we had a couple of pretty epic nights on that trip.
Yes, we did.
I think for me, that's, I mean, what I appreciate most is that, like you said, Adam, the fishing, you know, the conditions change, but I mean, the trip itself, you know, just sitting there in the gravel bar, you know, having the Northern Lights on that one night, and then sitting there and kind of just hanging out and looking for wood in the, you know what I mean, you guys crossed that one time in the raft to go get wood for us and stuff. It was just, you know, it was just a cool experience to hang out with you and your crew. And I think that Nick, I'm sure, feels the same way, just appreciates what you guys put together there.
Absolutely.
So cool. Well, I wanted to just touch on a couple of things. If somebody, again, going back to somebody's listening and they're thinking about Alaska, you know, what should they be thinking about getting ready for this? And maybe just hit on a couple tips here. Nick, from your perspective, you did this thing, you know, we were up there. What would you tell somebody if they're coming up to Alaska for the first time? What sort of advice would you give them?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, Adam and the guys were great about having everything we needed for the most part, you know, especially as far as tackle and flies, all that's concerned. You know, clothing is always a big one. The wool base layers are definitely clutch up there. Anything wool, basically, if you're going to be going for a couple of days and you only got a couple changes of clothes, wool is always a good way to go. Keeps you warm even when it's wet. Yeah, just some good gear, some good rods and reels, and you know, these guys got you covered for the most part. It was pretty amazing, you know, being able to just kind of show up with our rods and reels and have everything covered as far as, you know, meals and everything else. So just be prepared to get wet. You know, you're going to be rafting. It's probably going to rain at some point. If you're like me, I love fishing in the rain. So it's one of my favorite things, as long as it's not windy. I love it. So
yeah, that's right. That was that one morning we woke up after we did have some clear nights, and then we had a little bit of rain, and it was nice to put on, even though some of the stuff was damp, it was wool, and you're like, okay, I'm still warm, even though it's a little wet out.
Exactly.
There. Yeah. And it felt good. Right on. That's a good tip for sure. How about you, Adam? So again, you know, I know we've talked about this, like I said, episode 324 and some of the stuff we've done in the past, but what would be one tip for somebody coming up, just preparing, what would you tell them?
As far as gear goes, good rain jacket. But other than that, just be, you know, it's Alaska, be prepared for weather delays, you know, just because you get a trip like this, you're paying for the chance for a trip. And sometimes weather and Mother Nature don't cooperate. Just kind of, you know, be prepared for that. It's, you know, it's like booking a ski vacation and planning on it being a powder day every day. Like sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't happen. You just got to prepare yourself for that. But to gear, like you guys are saying, you know, wool is the best, base layers, socks, all that. Just, you know, just come prepared, you know, look at the lists I give you and actually read the list that I give you and show up with that stuff, and it'll just make a more enjoyable experience.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, we talked about a few species, the rainbow, dollies, coho. What are some of the other fish that we left out that maybe weren't, or maybe were there that we didn't get, or there are there in different times of the year?
No, you guys, well, there are other salmon, you know, the kings are present earlier in the season. And then after that, we got pinks and then chums. Chum salmon are one of the most underrated sport fish, in my opinion. They're huge. They're aggressive. I mean, you guys saw the zombies that were left of the chums. And, you know, if you're catching those things when they're fresh, they're a lot of fun. So underestimated as far as a sport fish for targeting on the fly. But again, just like the Arctic grayling, I mean, they don't fight as hard as the other species, but like that big buck that you caught, Torres, with that huge dorsal fin. I mean, they're just the most beautiful fish up here, in my opinion. I mean, rainbows are gorgeous, and they're the prize, but you know, just seeing those big grayling, I mean, 17 inch grayling is huge for a grayling, and that dorsal fin that's 6 inches tall is so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. And we were pretty much talking a little bit about the fishing, because we were, you know, pretty much, you know, we fished a lot of the beads and stuff like that. Talk about that a little bit, Adam, on how we were, how it was in relation to, you know, other times or other conditions on the fishing.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, fall, my two favorite times of year to be up fishing in Alaska for trout are early season and late season. You know, when you guys were here, it was late season, so all the fish are super fat. They're eating the salmon age, so you're fishing a bobber rig with a bead and a peg. So watching a bobber go down, I absolutely love, because they're so fat and it's everywhere. But early season, before the salmon get in, you know, the trout, their primary food source is shrews and voles. So you're fishing a mouse pattern on the surface all day long, and watching a 2-foot trout eat a small mammal on the surface is a thing of beauty. So that's why I love early season. You're skating mice on the surface, and then down on the lower river, you're able to swing for kings, which is awesome. An experience that I hope everyone can get out and enjoy before they're all gone in the ocean. So that's my two favorite things. And then as it kind of transitions, you know, once the salmon get in there, before the eggs and the flesh are super thick, we're throwing a lot of streamers, you know, cast them to the bank, stripping them in kind of like in the lower 48. But then up here, because there's so much structure, I mean, we call them leopard rainbows because they got spots all over them, but also because of the way they hunt, they'll be hung up in all that timber. You just downhang your streamer and it's just working back and forth in that current. And the water's crystal clear. So you just see this trout just lunge out and attack this streamer that you're dangling in front of this on these log jams. And it's so cool because these fish don't get fished that much. And they'll hit that streamer and they will be on. They will literally have tasted metal and they're on. And then it comes up and that streamer's still dangling there. And they come up and they hit it again until you finally seal the deal. Is a pretty cool way to fish. And then, you know, right after streamer fishing, that's when all the eggs start laying. And that's when we switch over to, you know, nymph rigs with beads and flesh. And you can still work. If the water had been lower when you guys were here, you can still get a trout to eat a mouse pattern in the fall. But this yeah. last year, the water was just so
high.
Too
high.
They're down deep.
Yeah.
Whereas in most years in the fall, the water level was lower. And on some of those smaller side, you know, sloughs and streams, you can get them to hit a mouse. But like I said, this year, the water was just so damn high.
That was it. It was just it was a high water year, like you said. And so for those people listening that maybe, you know, are looking ahead, that is a couple things, you know, the early season, early summer, July, where you get a chance really to go hard for some of the surface stuff. And then also, like you talked about earlier, the steelhead, you also have the Kodiak program. So that's another huge thing that people can connect with you. And I think we're gonna have to stay in touch
I'm
with you too.
Yeah, I'm going to be back for that one for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, Nick, you can talk because you're coming. I mean, obviously we both live in steelhead areas. The steelhead runs down in the lower 48 have been down for a few years and they're starting to come back a little bit. But Nick, you're due, right? You're due for some steelhead action, right?
Oh man. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm on a pretty long drought right now, but I also just don't get the time that I used to, you know. I got with the two little kids and work, and you know, I don't have the 2 weeks to go up and spend on the rond or the Clearwater or the salmon and just really devote time to it like I used to, but it'll happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I have faith. That's the steelheader way. You just got to keep open.
That's right. That's right. You got to be positive.
But it sounds like you don't really have that problem up north there, do you, Adam? It's more of a fishing rather than casting, right?
Yeah, we're very fortunate up here. You know, I have a couple different reasons in my head being a fishing guide why our runs are still doing good. But yeah, it was an amazing steelhead season. On the one trip I guided, we landed well over. This is just as I say this, talking with you boys and how it was when I started steelhead fishing in the lower northwest. You know, if you got one or two you know, on a handful of day trip, you were a stud. We landed over 100 on my trip. And before meeting with you guys, I was reading an email from one of our guests who was out on one of our trips and talking about the food and everything, walking down. He's like, I landed 28 steelhead in one run. Jeez. In the morning.
That's ridiculous.
That's pretty nuts.
It's a very specific number. He counted each day and told me how many he landed each day, both swinging and beating. It's just nuts. The volume that we still have, and, you know, not to sound like a salesman, but this goes for kings. This goes for steelhead. If anyone out there is thinking of doing this trip, whether it's in Alaska, lower 48, wherever, do it now. They may not be here. You know, it could be like the OP where they're going to shut it down. And that could be what happens to Alaska in a few years. You know, if you're thinking about doing these trips, whether it's for steelhead, kings, golden Dorado, permit, tarpon, go do it now. You know, it may not be here.
Yeah.
You know, so just take advantage of what you're able to do and don't think, oh, I'll do it next year. I'll do it next year. Go do it now. You know, who knows? Who knows what could happen up here? We could just be a few years behind the lower Pacific Northwest, which I truly hope not.
No.
But all the more reason to get out and have these experiences before they're gone.
Yep. Yeah, it's a good reminder. And I just wanted a good chance to highlight the Susitna River Coalition, one of our sponsors on this trip. They're a good, well, and Adam, you connected me with them and Margaret, that episode actually just went live, or, you know, in the future, you talk to my future self, but that was 2 days ago. So people can listen to that episode as well and listen to some of the issues that they are dealing with up there. And it sounds like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff going on, but I think the important thing is for people to get involved, and hopefully some folks will listening, you know, as part of this giveaway we have going as well this week.
100%. That's the thing that I've been so thankful with working with you. And I mean, fishing with you guys was a blast, but just getting this out there, there are a lot of fights up here that the lower 48 is not aware of. And by people listening, paying attention, giving their 2 cents to their elected officials can help us and will make a difference. Because if people are quiet and don't know, this big money is just going to rape and pillage Alaska and it won't be here. So I thank you so much, Dave, for reaching out to Margaret and the, you know, the coalition, because there are a lot of folks up here fighting the good fight. But if we could get folks from the lower 48 to help address these issues, would be super beneficial for everyone. So that way my daughter and Torres's daughters could come up here in 20 years and still be able to have these same experiences that we had.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of the cool things about this is that we got this giveaway, but behind it is that message. And I think Costa, you know, one of the sponsors on this, they, you know, that was a big thing, you know, for them too, and we're hooking up with them to do some of this as well, to talk about some of the other issues around. So cool. Well, Nick, I want to turn this a little bit back to you because we haven't talked much about gear. And of course I love the gear stuff. So talk about, you brought up a bag full, I mean, literally a suitcase full of gear and stuff was piling out, but talk about what we used up there, because you guys you got your reels, which are still, I think, probably the lightest out there on the market, but you also have a line of raws. Talk about the gear we used up there.
Yeah. We really got to put the gear through the paces. So we're fishing our velocity rods, varying in 7-8 weights, which you really needed for a lot of those rainbow trout down there, as well as the cobalt rods in the larger sizes, 8-9s, for those coho and some of the other spots. Brought up a lot of different reels. We were fishing everything from the Guru to the Lightspeed F. Even had a couple of those new Centerfire reels that we're going to be launching here in a couple of weeks.
Those are sexy.
Out for those. Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. I was really glad to be able to get those out and, kind of put them to work. So that was really cool. Had some catch and release tools to get those hooks out quick. Mm-hmm. And, that was really nice. And I was just, obviously happy with how everything held up and performed. Feel like we all, put them to the metal and gave them what for as far as the fishing down there. Those fish can put a bend in your rod for sure.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
That's right. I think we were using, we had all the weights up there, but the 7-weight seemed to be a good all around rod. Was that the one, Adam, when you talk about people, do they typically bring their own gear up there and do you recommend kind of a 6-7-8-weight, that sort of range?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we do provide gear at no additional cost for folks, but on these trips that are these fly out trips, most guests come up with their own gear. You have what you use and you use it a lot and you're used to it, or you're a gear geek like us and you go out and you buy something that you won't use for other than for this trip, just to add it to the quiver. But I just want to talk about Torres's gear, man. That velocity rod is awesome. And you're talking about as far as cork and fish, I mean, I was trying to break that thing, and that rod is just awesome. And paired up with that Lightspeed, and you know, being a gear geek, that rail system that you guys put onto the butt section and how it lines up where that Lightspeed is just a weapon. And that is by far one of my favorite rods that I've cast and used, and it mends super well. You know, everyone always trying to with rods see how far they can cast it, you know, but the real thing, especially with the trout fishing, is the ability to pick up that line and mend it efficiently. And that velocity, that 7-weight, man, just picked that line up so easily, sat it up river for a beautiful, sexy, you know, stack mend drift time and time again. That was that's a killer setup. Thank you.
Yeah. I felt like the action on those velocities was perfect for what we were doing up there. Right. Like
Adam
says, being able to pick that line up and put good mends out and then, you know, smooth up upstream cast. And, Well, thanks, man. I appreciate hearing that. That's always good. You know, it's so cool for me to get out. In my job, I get to get out and fish with a lot of different guides in different places. And it's always such a cool experience getting to fish with you guys, you know, the boots on the ground, the guys that are out there grinding it out every day, and kind of see, you know, see you guys put the gear through the paces is always a treat for me. So thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, bud. Yeah. Alaska, there's not a better testing ground for gear than Alaska with how hard we are on stuff and getting packed up into planes and helicopters and in boats and big fish. It's yeah. If anyone wants to test any gear, it should be up at AK.
Nice.
For sure.
Nice. Good stuff, guys. Well, I want to touch on a couple of highlights. We've dug into a little bit on the trip here, but we mentioned this at the start. This was kind of funny. Nick, I don't remember exactly how this came together, but talk about, just to get a little random here, the Talkeetna experience, because we had what was at least a couple few days in Talkeetna, and somehow you put together a poker game that you almost won. So how did that come to be?
Well, I didn't put it together. We got invited to that one by some friendly locals there at the local drinking establishment there at our hotel in Talkeetna. Yeah. Inn. And yeah, man, what a great way to finish out our trip. We had that extra day in Talkeetna to go look at the mountain and then finish it off at the local VFW invite only poker tournament, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Didn't end up taking it home, unfortunately. Had to settle for second place, you know. Can't win them all, I guess, but no, man, that was great. That was such a good time.
Yeah,
I do like to play some cards, you know, when I can.
Yeah, and Talkeetna is a pretty cool town because it's at, like we said, it's at the base of Denali. It's kind of the jumping off point for people that are going into Denali, right? Climbing it and that stuff, and I guess the helicopter flights we did. I mean, I think that company, they take people up over the mountain, right? Adam, have you had some experience there with that? Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Talkeetna Air Taxi, they're a phenomenal outfitter out of all the air providers I work with. They by far have some of the best pilots around. They've all been with them for many, 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 many years. And they do flight tours of Denali. But then, like you're saying, yes, they take many climbers up there every year to attempt to climb the big one. And I can't say enough good things about Talkeetna Air Taxi.
That's cool. Yeah, I spent a little bit of time that morning, a couple mornings they were there, and the shout out to the U.S. Forest Service office there. It's really a cool office. I went there, spent a little bit of time in, early in the mornings doing some work, and they have a really great room, which just shows all the climbers. And I think 1,100 people summited Denali this year, which is a cool little fun fact. But nice, guys. Well, before we get out here, I just want to give a heads up to both of you, or you know, a chance to offer anything else you want to talk about the trip. I mean, we did kind of a highlight here on it, but before we get out of here, what would you guys, any other words of wisdom to anybody listening here?
Well, like I said earlier, not to beat a dead horse, just do it now. Take advantage of it while you can. Get out of here and enjoy it. Hopefully it'll be here forever, but if it's not, get out and do it now, whether it's Alaska, Baja, down south, wherever. Go out, go fish, enjoy it.
Yep. Nick, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Adam. You know, take advantage of things when you can. You know, make sure to sign up for this giveaway. It's a hell of an opportunity to, you know, win a trip of a lifetime. Really was, Adam, like, especially for me, first time going up to Alaska. I can't think of a better way to see it and just experience the fishing and the wildlife and everything up there. Yeah, thanks again. You know, if anybody has any questions about gear, they can always reach out to me. Check out our website at waterworkslampson.com.
Nice. And I'm glad you highlighted the giveaway, and just a shout out to some of the sponsors. We mentioned a few of them that are involved. We'll have a link at wetflyswing.com/giveaway where people can enter this thing. But yeah, essentially we've got Costa, we've got some sunglasses, Scientific Anglers is giving away some lines as part of this. Umqua has a bunch of flies and a pack, essentially a sling. I mean, we got multiple rods. Nick, you're giving away,
cool package.
Yeah. I think you're giving away one of those rods and a reel. We've got another rod in the mix. It's a power pack giveaway because when you add a trip to it, all the gear plus the trip, it puts this into, you know, a pretty nice prize pack for a person to win. And it's exciting to be a part of this with you guys. And before we get out of here, I just want to touch one more thing, kind of looking ahead. So now we're going into, you know, right now as we speak, into the, you know, fall, winter. Nick, what's up for you next? As you look out, say, over the next kind of 6 months of the year, you have any other trips or anything else going with Waterworks Lampson?
Yeah, it's going to be a busy few months for me. We got a bunch of new stuff coming out. We just released a new kind of Euro nymphing reel slash trout spay reel with the Guru 5 HD yesterday, as well as the new Lightspeed M in a 6-weight size. That's our saltwater reel. We got the center fire that's going to be dropping here in the next couple weeks. It's a whole new line of reel, really just a workhorse reel that you can take from the ocean to musky fishing to steelheading to whatever you want to do. And a new rod coming out in November. So that's going to be keeping me pretty busy. I'm headed down to the Delta in California next weekend for our sales rep. John Sherman puts together a Delta Day event down there for some striper fishing, bass fishing. So I'll get to hang out with all our dealers and guides and stuff down there. I'm looking forward to that. And then right after that, I'm headed home to South Dakota where I grew up to see my folks and hopefully go shoot some pheasants at my buddy's property there in central South Dakota. So I'll be bumming around. And then the trade show season starts in January. So I'll be heading out to New Jersey for the fly fishing show there and coming back and doing Denver as well. Showing off all this cool new gear. Yeah. Stoked.
Yeah. That's a packed season. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you next year at the shows for sure. That's going to be a lot of fun. So Adam, how about you? I know you do some stuff in the wintertime, even when it's freezing up there. What's the next kind of 6 months a year look like for you?
Yeah, definitely busy with the business, marketing, booking trips, so many trips booked for 23, which is awesome. And then at the end of November, first part of December, taking the family and some of my guides, we're going to Honduras to go chase bonefish and permit. Looking forward to that. We're actually working with another good buddy of mine that I used to guide with back in the Black Canyon. He's got a killer bonefish permit program going in Guanaja, and we're going to be working with him trying to get one going on one of the little smaller islands down there. So looking forward to walking the flats and chasing bones and expanding the business, and then coming back up here and getting my 2-year-old daughter snowboarded a bunch last year when she was 15 months. She got like 35 days in at the resort. Jeez. So nice. Looking forward to getting back out, sliding on snow with my daughter. And you know, we always do a couple big backcountry trips where we either fly into the Alaska Range or take the camper over to Thompson Pass and climb mountains and slide down on snow.
That's so cool.
And then, back in the next season, I'm super pumped. Going to be working with Untamed Angling, going to Bolivia to chase Golden Dorado for the first time and get working with them. So lots of things to look forward to, from chasing fish, sliding on snow, and most importantly, spending time with my wife and daughter.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Yeah, it sounds like, there's so many trips.
Life always, well lived.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many things to do, but it sounds like you guys both have some good stuff lined up. Nice. Well, I'll send everybody out. I think we will put in the links in the show notes, fishhoundexpeditions.com and waterworks-lampson.com for both of you guys. And yeah, I just want to say, you know, as we're wrapping up here, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better trip to spend, you know what I mean, like the time up there with both, you know, you guys and your crew, Adam, up there. So I appreciate all the effort, and I'm excited to keep, staying on some of this stuff and hearing about some of these, new trips coming up as we move ahead. So yeah, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. It was a blast being out there chasing fins with you guys. As we all pointed out, sitting around the campfire, having some beers, it was epic. We had Will, Cam, and myself had an absolute blast with you guys. You are good humans.
Absolutely, man. I second that. It was a blast hanging out with you boys.
So there we are. wetflyswing.com/377 377. We'll get you a chance to get that link if you're interested. If you haven't yet entered the giveaway, wetflyswing.com/377. There'll be a link to the giveaway there. You can also go directly to the page at wetflyswing.com/giveaway. That'll direct you right over to the page where you can sign up for a chance to win this trip and all of the gear we've been talking about. It was definitely fun. It's definitely been a fun ride putting this together. We're right in the middle of it now, launching out this giveaway, but it's been a nice long process. We got up to Alaska, talked about a lot of that today, used some of the gear that we've got here, and now we're just circling back and getting really close to actually giving this away to one lucky winner.
One lucky winner next week is going to win this prize pack with everything included. So I'm going to hop on the next one. I've got another episode I'm going to get lined up here today. So if you can, connect with me. You can connect on that giveaway page. You can send me an email anytime, dave@wetflyswing.com or wetflyswing on social. Would love to hear from you, and you can let me know how we're doing. All right. It is late. And I want to let you know that I hope you are having a good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Wet Fly Swing Fly Fishing Show. For notes and links from this episode, visit wetflyswing.com.